You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ooh, it's time to probe the universe on Spaced Out, thanks to the spunky spunks at Stardome Observatory and Planetarium in One Tree Hill.
Spaced Out.
Hello, David.
Hi, Alice.
How are you going this morning?
Oh, not too bad. A bit tired. Went to the cricket last night and, yeah, you always feel tired when you lose.
Oh, that's too bad. Who were we playing? I don't really follow sports.
Oh, South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know how much it was them playing much better or us playing poorly. So it was probably a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, moving to space, away from these terrestrial sports.
Yeah.
Some new news from Rocket Lab.
It seems such a slow process. Now, you get so many of these announcements over a period of time. They're going to get to the stage where they will actually launch something up into the sky. But it's now 2017, and seems to be such a slow process. I know it's the first time for anyone in New Zealand to do this. Sending something up into orbit isn't something simple, either technically or engineering, or the hoops they have to jump through with the red tape, the permissions for all sorts of things, and I have mentioned some of those in past broadcasts. But finally, they actually have a rocket down at Mahia Peninsula. The first rocket that is going to go up, they shipped down from Auckland. So it's now being just checked out down at Mahia Peninsula. But again, they won't tell us when it's going to launch. They're giving us sort of in the near future, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
What they're also saying is, Mahia Peninsula, it's not like it's a military zone, no one can go anywhere near it sort of thing. But they are saying, although people probably want to go and see when there is a launch, there are bound to be lots of, especially at this stage of a program, changes in program, weather interference to the program, that sort of thing. And they're basically saying they don't really encourage people just to sort of leap down there and expect when the launch is announced that it's going to go off on the dot. I think probably Mahia is pretty remote anyway, I guess. Best if people sort of wait until it happens and see it either online or on the news. One good thing that with launching down there, there's I think only one international airline that flies anywhere near there, so airspace is pretty easy to clear. downrange on the ocean, again, it's not a hugely busy shipping lane, so that side of it should be okay. So just can't wait, it's a patience game, I guess. But,
yeah, if you knew the date, would you be tempted to go down there and have a look?
Probably not for the first one. I mean, although that's probably going to be the most exciting, or the odds are that it might be, because rockets do explode, especially test rockets, and this is a test mission, the first one.
Golly gosh.
other commitments sort of make it a bit more of a balancing act to make that decision, I guess.
But they're saying don't wait because you might have to wait for a while, but, maybe you could take a break from work, go for an extended camping holiday, just hang out like you're a groupie.
Yeah, I guess there will be some people who would do that. It depends on what they say, when the launch is. Is it in the holiday time? Is it in good weather time, for instance? Also, how much notice they give.
Yeah.
And in the past, they've tended not to be like NASA, where you've got months in advance, the launch is going to be blah, blah, blah date. Rocket Lab tended to be much closer to the time.
Where did you say it's going from again?
Mahia Peninsula. They've built a launch pad down there, north of Gisborne.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so the easternmost part of the North Island, pretty much. So it's sticking out towards the ocean, so it's a safer place and so on. They were originally hoping, or planning, in fact, to build south of Christchurch, but that they couldn't get the permissions and there was too many delays. I think they're still pursuing that as a second option in the future, but in the meantime, Mahia all came along, and so they built that launch pad last year, end of last year.
I've just brought it up on the map, and it's such a funny little sticking out bit.
It is,
I've never noticed.
That sort of triangular shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're right pretty much near the end of that.
Well,
which, again, for security is good, I guess, because you can't sort of have people driving up from all angles.
Yeah, but it would be very interesting. Maybe when they're a bit more established, though, let people come look at it.
Probably. And, you know, again, they talk up the number of launches and all the rest of it. But from my own perspective, let's see how the first one goes and take it from there, really.
Yeah. Okay, moving along to planet hunting.
Yeah, finding planets around other stars is a pretty tricky business. It isn't just the professionals that can do it, and in Auckland at the Stardom Observatory and a couple of private observatories, they've contributed to discovering planets around other stars in various ways. Now you don't even need a telescope to do it. There's a group of data that's been released. It's 20 years, pretty much, worth of data from the Keck telescope on Hawaii. It's a huge 10-meter telescope there. And they've released the data from an instrument there of 1,600 stars, and the data is 61,000 individual measurements.
Wow.
Of these stars. It's pretty much a good part of the life work of a guy called Paul Butler. Marcy and Butler were the two astronomers who really kick-started finding lots and lots of extrasolar planets. And Paul Butler has carried on with this particular program. What they've done, though, is not just analyze the information for themselves and basically cherry-pick, I guess, the 100 planets that they've announced with this release of data. So now we're 100 planets more than we were last week. But the actual data has been released, plus software that is open source that people can download and use that software themselves at home to see if there's any planets that they missed when they cherry-picked the good ones from this data. So people can literally download the data, download the software, and have a go at analysing the data and find out what might have been missed.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So good to involve the public in some ways and contribute to something that is becoming more and more for the projects that are in the billions of dollars mostly.
Yeah, I love when they could sort of make it open source like that, and because there are always really keen people at home who just want to be able to contribute in some way.
That's right. It's not the only one. The Gaia mission, all its data is public, but it doesn't come with software for you to analyze it.
So it's a bit harder, is it? A bit of higher entry level?
Absolutely. And Gaia is measuring a billion stars, so the amount of data is orders of magnitude greater.
Awesome. Okay. And I have something here that says Galaxy Starbridge.
Yeah, the Galaxy Starbridge. In the sky, we see the two Magellanic Clouds. They're two dwarf galaxies, very visible in the southern sky, down our part of the world. And they orbit our Milky Way galaxy, the small galaxies that we think have been basically captured or become part of our Milky Way system. The thought is that eventually, in a few billion years' time, they'll just become absorbed into the Milky Way. What they have found now is there's actually a bridge of stars between those two dwarf galaxies, that they're not just completely independent individual masses of stars, There's actually a bridge of stars between them, which means there's been interaction. And most probably they're actually orbiting each other as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you won't be able to see it with binoculars or even a decent telescope. This is very much high-level discovery. But yeah, it's helping unravel the history of how our galaxy formed and the local group of galaxies, and of course the future, what might be going to be happening down the track that might affect us in the long future.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, what can we see in the Auckland night sky?
I'm tempted to say cloud, as it was last night.
I can see that in the Auckland day sky as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the things are slowly changing. We've had Venus and the west after sunset for quite a long time, but that is sinking faster and faster down towards the sun. So we don't have much time left after sunset before Venus disappears into the sun's glare. Mars is not far behind. So we're getting towards a time after sunset where there's not going to be any bright planets at all. To see them, you're going to have to get up in the middle of the night to see Jupiter and then Saturn a bit later. So before sunrise, we've got Jupiter and Saturn in the morning sky, nice and easy to see. Going back to our sunset, we still have Matariki in the northwest, so still a bit of time to see that before that disappears as well. Orion, a huge constellation nearby, but it's got a couple of months before they disappear as well.
Okay, and how about the stardom? I have to ask, how was the Valentine's Day special?
Very good, very, very well attended. From what I understand, there were no technical glitches. From our point of view, there's no problem there. It's always nice to have no technical glitches. It went really well. And I don't know if they're planning, because this is slightly bigger than last year, with planning more shows for next year, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it was very successful.
Yeah, we gave away a couple of passes to it at the station. So if anyone who's listening went along, I'd love to hear about it. You can text me on 5395. But I see here that you have a Children's Day coming up.
Yes, we do. It's in a couple of weeks, on the 5th of March, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a $2 entry. It's sort of tantamount to a donation, I guess, a gold coin donation. But yeah, $2 per person. It's a family fun day out. Every 30 minutes, there's a planetarium show. There'll be rocket launchings during the day, solar telescopes will be out, have a look at sunspots, that sort of thing. I think there'll be other activities like Bouncy Castle. I'm not exactly sure what all of them might be. Hopefully I'll have a little bit more detail in a couple of weeks, but in the meantime, put that in your diary, no need to book.
So when was that again?
10 till 4 on Sunday the 5th of March.
Sunday the 5th of March, great, and just $2?
$2, that's all.
Sounds very good.
It is. I mean, it's very popular in past years, and hopefully it'll be better this time. We've got new displays in the foyer for people to look at as well.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been since the new displays went up. I need to make it out there and
have a look. Give us a bell. Of course, the yearbook as well. We've got the yearbook on sale. I should mention that, I guess. We're already into, it's nearly March, isn't it? So the yearbook, which comes out at the end of the year, that's got star charts for the whole year, and it's got these amazing articles on all sorts of different aspects of space exploration and astronomy and so on. That's just $20. You get that either when you go to Stardome, buy that at the shop, or you can order it online.
Awesome. Lovely to chat with you as always, David.
Look forward to next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Alice.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.